Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, ATVSwimSpas.com, the official training vessel of six-time Ironman world champion Dave Scott, Run Catalina. We got the Catalina Marathon coming up on Saturday, March 10th. You can get all that info at RunCatalina.com. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation. Last year, we sent out 2,448 grants, totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com, on iTunes, and as always, endurance lives here. One of our favorite race directors around, his name is Steve Del Monte. It's Delmo Sports, Ironman 70.3 Atlantic City, Escape the Cape, Try the Wildwoods, Atlantic City Triathlon. He does it all. Steve, how the heck you doing?
Amazing. Thank you, Bob. This is an honor.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my man. It was great seeing you at TBI last year. And what got you into putting on events? It's one thing to race yourself, but to put on events is a totally different ballgame.
Great question. It was 2003, and I did a race that was billed a particular way. They said, you're gonna swim around this sunken ship. You're going to do this great run course, and then we're going to have a fabulous meal afterwards for you. And we didn't swim around the sunken ship. The run was terrible, and there was Entenmann's on the floor after the race. And I said, literally, I said to my wife, I said before, my fiance at the time.
Yeah.
I can't believe she stuck with me through this.
Yeah.
Before someone does something like this in our hometown, I have to put it on.
Right.
I have to do it. And that was the birth of Delmo Sports and what was our first race and still longest running event, Try the Wildwoods Triathlon. And Bob, I had no clue what I was doing. None.
What did you learn from that first race? Because people, when you talk about a triathlon, it's one thing to put a few cones out and say, I'm putting out a 5K. And when I had a competitor and people would call and say, hey, I want to do a fundraiser, I want to put on a race, I'm like, you know, do a bake sale. You have no idea what's involved with this. Then when you start talking about putting on, the word triathlon is one word, but it's three sports. You've got to you got to deal with lifeguards, you got to deal with the ocean or the bay, then you got to deal with road closures for the bike, and then the run, and make sure the cyclists aren't running over the runners, and all that stuff. What did you learn from that first one?
I learned that I knew nothing. I mean, that's what I learned. And I remember it was the morning of the event. I mean, everything arrived the last second.
Of course.
You know, my mom was folding T-shirts the night before. And I've been up for like forever. And I had so much stuff that still wasn't done. And I said to my wife, I have to go to sleep. And she looked at me like I was insane. You know, my wife grew up in the bar restaurant business, so she's tough. You know, she's like, sleep.
Right. We got a party to put on. Come on now.
So I went up to take like a 20-minute nap and gone out and doing the course all by myself, and nothing was set up. And it was like the middle of registration in the morning, and it's literally chaos. But this is when you could get away with it, Bob. In 2004, you could get away with being unorganized because there were hardly any triathlons around in southern New Jersey.
Right.
There were a few, but there were hard. So you could. There was a lot of leeway. And I remember I'm starting to melt down, and my wife slapped me like Sharon Moonstruck. She's like, snap out of it. We got an event to put on.
Well, yeah, because people do have low expectations at that point because, like, oh, my God, we have a triathlon. They don't know what a triathlon can be. All they know is that they're in one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And through that, people had a good time. And I will tell you, I sent people out in conditions in the Atlantic Ocean that I would never send them out in today.
Right.
Because that's the day and age that we live in. Through that first experience, I realized that it gave me this energy that didn't exist when I was a teacher, that didn't exist while I worked for my family's hotel-motel business as a manager for them. It just didn't exist. But with this little race that I produced, it was like I was creating this thing that all the like there was only like 300 people, but they seemed to really enjoy it. I mean, one guy took off his timing chip and threw it at us, but that was cool, you know.
He showed emotion. That's good.
Yeah, so we were, you know, and from that, I did that race every August for the 6-7 years, and then I decided to expand and into Atlantic City, New Jersey, because no one was producing a triathlon there. And from Atlantic City led to Escape the Cape, and Escape the Cape changed everything for us.
Explain Escape the Cape for folks who have not heard of that event, because that event has a lot of panache to it.
Yeah, so it's completely 100% inspired by Escape from Alcatraz.
Yeah.
And we here in southern Cape May County, which is the southern tip of the Jersey Shore for anyone that's listening, what we like to we feel like we're the Southern California of the Jersey Shore. It's like nothing like people see on TV. Very cool, very laid back. Anyway, there's a ferry that connects Delaware and New Jersey called the Cape May Lewis Ferry. And it's fantastic. We had this idea for an event, and I'm going to say this again. It was my wife's idea to jump off the boat. She said, "Don't you people like jumping off boats?" And I said, "Yeah, we do." She goes, "Why don't you ask? Maybe they'll let you." And they allowed me.
Wow.
And so yeah.
In this day and age of insurance, that's amazing.
We were lucky. That's all I'm going to say. We were lucky. We caught lightning in a bottle with the Delaware River and Bay Authority that owned the ferry, and they said, "This is a great idea." The director of operations at this place, he almost took a job at the boat that they jump off of in San Francisco years ago.
Oh.
So he kind of knew, like, oh, yeah, this is cool.
The horn blower.
What are the odds? Yeah. What are the odds?
Yeah.
So
it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm. So we launched the event in 2013, and in order for me to understand this type of an event, because this was way out of my league as a producer. Like, I walked in, I said, "This is what we want to do for maximum impact, jump off the Cape May Lewis Ferry like they do for Escape from Alcatraz." You know, and they said, "Let's make it happen." And you walk out of the room, Bob, and you're like, "Oh my God, I got to pull this off."
Yeah.
You know, like, got to make it happen. So I signed up for Alcatraz. And I got in, and it was the year the race was in March. I did that race, and I learned a lot. I asked a lot of questions. Bill Burke was extremely gracious to me in answering some questions about certain things. He's just a phenomenal race director, and I went all in, man. I learned everything I could. I went to conferences. I called other race directors. I would call people. This is what I did. This was my thing, and it worked. You know, first year we opened the race Valentine's Day in 2013. The race was June 2nd. Not many triathlons open up 4 months before they're going to have it. We sold out 1,000 competitors.
Wow!
We sold out 1,000, and it was a safe event. The next year we did 1,200. The next year 1,500. The next year 1750, and last year 1750, and this year we're well on our way to selling out again.
Very cool.
And it's special. It's it's the Alcatraz of the East. There's nothing like it. There's no other venue like it. It's spectacular, and it's a phenomenal community, Bob, where the community comes out, and they with the way the course is laid out, the run is along the bay, and there's these bayfront homes, and they'll put their hoses on ladders and shower the runners, and they make signs, and everybody's got a solo cup, and it's early in the morning, and it's just you can't like manufacture that.
No,
it just happened.
Yep, organically. Happened. Yeah. And what are the distances?
Oh, it's a sprint and Olympics. So
I love it.
Traditional sprint distance. Yes, traditional sprint distance, which is like a 0.35 mile
swim,
12 mile bike, 5K run, and then the Olympic is
double.
A mile swim, 25-mile bike, and I believe it's a 5-mile run.
Oh, shorter run.
Yeah,
I like that.
Perfect. A little bit shorter run, because I torture them on the sand big time.
Oh, it's a lot of sand running.
All my races have sand. I like to stick it to them.
So then, I mean, you're always a guy who's thinking outside the box. That you have an opportunity to bring a iron distance event to Atlantic City. The first challenge event in the U.S. is Challenge Atlantic City that you brought there. And I remember watching you on the boardwalk And there's a huge difference between a sprint Olympic and then when you step up to that longer distance in terms of you as a race director have to be more of a like a delegator rather than you have to be the sort of the conductor rather than the guy sitting playing percussion, right? You can't just be, you have to be able to answer everything rather than running around putting out cones and bringing water to the aid station, et cetera. What did you learn from that first iron experience, a long distance experience?
Well, once again, I'll take it back to the beginning. I learned that I knew nothing about it. It is a completely different ballgame.
Yep.
And it was the worst experience of my professional career, but I will put a slash next to that and say it was also the best experience I ever had because there was, as an event director, there was me before Challenge Atlantic City and me after Challenge Atlantic City. And I'm extremely grateful to the Walshopper family and Challenge family for giving me the opportunity to bring Challenge to the United States, to give it my best, and it just didn't work out. It just didn't work out. But I believe I grew as an event director. Again, it changes you. I'd like to say, I've never been to war, but in terms of triathlon, I've been there as a producer.
Yeah.
And it changes you.
Yes.
It changes you.
And
from that experience, I would not have been able to execute Ironman 70.3 Atlantic City on the level that we do today if it had not been for that opportunity to challenge, period.
So Atlantic City is a great location. The numbers were okay for challenge, but when you made that transition to it becoming an Ironman 70.3, what was the difference in terms of the reception of just, you know, all of a sudden you've got this Ironman brand attached to Atlantic City?
Registration exploded. We sold out 3,000 slots in 9 days.
Did that blow you away?
It does blow me away. And Ironman deserves every bit of that credit for the last 35, 37 years of being in triathlon. When triathlon wasn't popular,
right,
and when it went through its peaks and valleys, Ironman was still there, still plugging away, still giving, you know, anything is possible.
Yes.
They're not a fad.
No.
They're not a fad, and that's what people know. I mean, they're on every Timex watch in America. I mean, just people just know it, and so you can't hate on people for wanting to do something that they know. And let's be honest, they are the absolute best organization in the world when it comes to producing large-scale mass participatory events. And people feel safe with them, and they deserve that credit, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be a licensee.
So when they first rolled in operationally, when they first rolled into Atlantic City, what was that like when you saw, oh my God, this is the scope, this is how they do it?
I had when they rolled in, I was more prepared than before.
Yeah.
So I knew what was coming, but it's a good feeling knowing that you got the best behind you, and they're gonna bring their trailers. They're gonna they make you as a licensee. They make you hire their staff for year one, and it's the best decision Ironman can make because you're representing their brand, and you need people that know how these things. This is what they do every weekend.
Right. Bob. Yep.
So it's gotta. And so as we go on, we use less and less of their staff, and because our staff is now schooled up. And we do a lot of things that are different, maybe better than Ironman does, but you get the feel for it. You know, it's like it's kind of like an NFL quarterback. Very rarely does a rookie just step in and it's just amazing. You know, they sit on the sidelines and they watch how this is done from a pro. And now you're ready. Now you're caught up to speed. Now you can go in there and execute.
The other thing that I think is always fascinating as a race director, obviously you were, you know, a triathlete beforehand. But you also, you know, when you're on race day, you're dealing with stuff. Things happen. You're dealing with all that. At the same time, you're seeing you're at the finish line when people are basically changing their lives. People who never thought they would accomplish what they have just accomplished come across that finish line and they're in tears and their families hugging them. And sometimes when you're dealing with operations and, you know, logistics, you can forget that. How important is that aspect of it in terms of keeping you in this?
It's everything. I don't do this for the money. I never did this for the money. There was years, Bob, that I invested in Delmo Sports every year.
Right.
That's the code word for loss.
You know? Exactly.
I invested because there was this feeling that you got, and you knew you were making a difference, and deep down inside, it felt like it was the right thing to do. And maybe, just maybe, if you keep doing it, you keep pushing, it's going to pay off one day. And so when you hit the finish line, you know, our final finisher at IMAX 70.3 was Harvey Dawkins, has cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
And him coming across the line, and the police caught it on a camera
right
at the finish line, and they sent me the clip. And you see that. That's changed his life. And then the people standing around and thinking, this guy's got CP. There's nothing physically wrong with me. I can't get my act together. And you've just sent someone's life in a completely different trajectory, and it's altered forever. And that's the difference about what we do in endurance sports and what someone does at a restaurant or someone does in a motel, which is what my family's background is. It's like, listen, we do a lot of good. We create memories. We're not altering the trajectory of people's lives. That's what this does. It really does.
No question.
And so it's special.
So last year we were at the Tribe Business, and one of my big pushes, and I've probably been a little obnoxious about it, has been I feel that the swim is a big deterrent for people getting into our sport. Because cold water, current, kelp, big fish, glare, people playing bongos on your head, all of the above, right? And also the fact that if you and I go for a bike ride and get tired, we can stop. If you and I go for a run and get tired, we can stop. If you and I go for a swim and we're out in the ocean, we get tired, we die. That's a problem. So I've been a big proponent of these pool triathlons. We have a series of them in Southern California, 5K run followed by a 12-mile bike followed by anywhere from 150 to 400-yard swim in a pool. And it's people serpentine across the pool, so they start at one end, finish the other end. Incredibly safe. People are warmed up before they get in the water, and they end up, they're triathletes. If Dave Scott walked up right then, they go, hey, Dave, we're both triathletes. They don't think of themselves as lesser than because their swim was in a pool. You are about to announce that you're going to put on your first pool triathlon, correct?
That's correct. We've just launched it today. It hit the wire at 9 a.m., and we sent notification to all of our athletes via email as well as social media. We've officially launched the Women's Philadelphia Triathlon after a five-year hiatus of no women's all-women's triathlons in Philadelphia. And the difference between this race and any other triathlon in the city is that it takes place in a 50-meter outdoor pool. And we do it more traditionally. We're starting with the swim.
Oh, you are?
I want our athletes to feel the experience of swim, bike, run.
Gotcha.
In that order. And so far, the response has been fantastic. It's 9:18 a.m., and we released it this morning. We've already had 4,000 views on our video, close to 100 shares. The comments on our Facebook page are beyond our wildest imagination. These women are ecstatic that an all women's triathlon is back in the city of Philadelphia. And as you know this, Bob, we have a really strong women's triathlete presence here in the Mid-Atlantic region. We have some of the largest clubs in the country here.
Yep.
and a thriving multi-sport community. So we're excited to bring this style of triathlon to the Mid-Atlantic region and for it to be dedicated to women.
Love that. So for the swim portion, will you do, you have X number of lanes and start that many people at a time?
We're going to do serpentine. So we're going to send, and it'll go by ability level. So we'll school up everyone who needs to be saying, hey, if you're a 5 minute and under swimmer, you're going in the first group.
Gotcha.
And they'll go in two at a time.
Oh, that's
and
perfect.
Then it goes, all right, if you just want to kind of float, maybe hang on a lane line, wait till the end. Wait till the end. You're still going to get in the water. You're going to go up, back, 8 times, and that'll be your 400 meters. And then you're going to go out for the bike. And then once you've done the bike, and obviously it's going to we're closing all the roads for this. It'll be 100% safe. And then you have the run, and then you will finish under a traditional finish truss with medals and all the things that a quote-unquote normal triathlon would have.
I love that. Very cool. I love the fact you're getting good response already. So people are understanding that, hey, it's a triathlon, but we're putting you in a pool rather than in the school.
Look, any river in a city, people are always skeptical.
Right.
And it's the biggest – look, the fear of open water is real.
No question.
It is the number one deterrent in all of triathlon. If it rains the day before, there is no swim.
Right.
Right? If it you can't do it. So let's take that out. Let's put – and then here's the other thing. You don't have to have practice swims for this race. You go practice in your pool. It's the same as this pool.
Right.
It's a pool.
Yes.
So it's you can get familiar in your hometown without visiting the site. And we're excited about that. We're also excited that we're not offering any mentor programs for this event because we want you, as a triathlete that may, you might be a newbie, to go to your local tri club.
Right.
To join that tri club, to learn from people who've done this before. So this event is really, we're really trying to help build the tri club community in our region, which builds the region. So it's one thing helping another, which helps the greater good.
So the nice thing about this is that you can also invite out the different manufacturers, the different retailers. These are brand new people. I'm guessing 60, 70, 80% of the people who do this, this will be their first triathlon, and they certainly aren't branded with what to wear and what not to wear. They don't have to deal with wetsuits. You don't have to worry about, oh, my God, is the swim going to be canceled or not canceled? Everything is a positive by putting people in the pool.
Yes, that's 100% correct. Look, if you're relying on the same customers, they're going to get tired of you, and guess what? I have a bike.
Right.
I have a wetsuit. I have sneakers. I have shades. I have everything. I am your worst customer at an expo. The worst.
Yes.
But you get that new traffic. They don't have the stuff.
They have nothing.
It's exciting. They want the stuff.
Exactly.
So we're going to provide the stuff for them, which is a great opportunity for our sponsors to really showcase. And even if you don't have the stuff, you can get everything you need there. And this is the type of an event where it's like, you know, a wetsuit. That's like the most intimidating thing for people to buy, period. You don't need one here. You're going to need some goggles. You're going to need some sneaks, a hockey helmet, and something with a chain and two wheels. That's all you need.
Well, now, what's the date on this, Steve?
July 8th, 2018.
July 8th, 2018. Great. And people just go to Delmo Sports to find out more info?
DelmoSports.com for all information. We will open registration on January 17th, and we just couldn't be happier.
I love it. Hey, congratulations on this. Hopefully this leads to a nice little series of pool triathlons in the Northeast.
Hopefully, and hopefully this is the biggest and best one. And I want to tell everyone listening that the whole reason that I even was able to conceive of this event is because Bob brought in a video to a conference. It was about 10 minutes long, and it highlighted this pool triathlon in California, and I'm fortunate where I live. There are many pools, there are many water parks, things like that, and I thought to myself, how have I not thought of this? And it goes to show that you do not know everything. You have to go to these types of things. You have to network with people. You have to ask. Look, you could be the best triathlete in the world. If you're not talking to other triathletes and just rapping about the sport, you're not learning. You're not growing. And the same goes for event directors. Event directors that stay in their house, in their hole, and don't talk and don't get out there and see what else is out there, you're not going to grow. And this is all about growing new triathletes, Bob. That's what this is about.
Exactly. And I tell people all the time that you don't need to be down. I mean, in this particular case, you're in a very popular triathlon area, right? You're basically mm-hmm. using parts of what the Tri-Rock course for the run and the bike. But you don't have to be. You know, wherever there's a community pool, there's a community. There's people living out there. So even if you're outside you're not by the coast, you can be anywhere. And now people have the opportunity to become triathletes. And they get to go in warm water with lane lines and walls and a lifeguard and feel incredibly safe the entire time.
And surrounded by other powerful, positive women. That's a huge bonus, especially for this event.
Well, and we saw it back in the day. I mean, listen, if the Danskin Women's Triathlon Series could draw 1,500 to 2,000 women per event at events all over the country, there's no reason, especially in this day and age with 65% of the athletes doing the rock and roll events being women, there's no reason why we can't tap into that resource and give people the triathlon experience where they can compete with other women and not have to deal with losers like us.
I agree. I believe in today's charged climate, I think this event is something that resonates deeply with women. And I mean, I have a young daughter. She's 7 years old. And I now notice things when people speak about what women can and can't do. I now notice because I have a little girl, and I want anyone to tell her she can't do anything because girls don't do that. I don't want to hear it. So, you know, this one's for her and for my wife.
Love it.
At the end of the day.
Love it. Well, congrats on this, Steve. Again, July 8th, you go to delmosports.com and check it out. Steve Del Monte is the race director and the creator. Now, so can people still get into Escape the Cape, or is that sold out yet?
Yeah, people can get into Escape the Cape. We're halfway there, chugging along, and it's just check out the video on the site. It's a 12-foot jump off the front of this boat. It's twice as high as the San Francisco Bell. You got to watch people bombing off the front of this thing. It's unbelievable.
Love that. Hey, Steve, thanks so much for taking so much time. Always a pleasure to connect. And congrats on your women's triathlon in Philly. I think it's going to be awesome.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And do me a favor, make another video to inspire me to do something else.
Okay, Steve Del Monte has been our guest. Again, Delmo Sports, his first ever women's triathlon. And it's the Women's Triathlon Philadelphia, July 8th. Delmo Sports is the website to go check out, delmosports.com. Again, we are brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, VeloFix.com, ATV Swim Spas, RunCatalina.com, Catalina Marathon. If you have not run Catalina, epic event, Saturday, March 10th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we're now heading into our 25th year. We've sent out over 18,000 grants to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville and on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.